One of Hollywood's most famous and scariest actors, Vincent Price, made a name for himself in classic mysteries and thrillers throughout the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. Now, the Colonial Radio Theater on the Air, in association with Blue Water Productions, brings you Vincent Price Presents. We'll be featuring stories of horror and suspense inspired by some of Mr. Price's most famous films, as well as creating new, frightening tales with the assistance of his estate. Now, turn the lights out, sit back, and welcome to the macabre world of Vincent Price and tonight's tale, The Abominable Dr. Fibes, The Deadly Comedy.
Evening, Mr. Wolf.
Oh, Rossiter, you blithering bloody idiot. You scared the life out of me.
Oh, sorry about that, Mr. Wolf. Just doing a few repairs before we open again on Monday. You got what you wanted, then?
Eh?
The parcel under your arm, sir. I remember you were saying a few weeks ago you were waiting for a book. Something from overseas.
That's right. Research for my role.
A little late for that, isn't it? Jack and the Beanstalk's only got another week to run.
Yes, well, international delivery. Blame the postal service.
Murder mystery next week. I like a good murder, don't you, sir?
Not particularly.
Oh, perhaps you just haven't read a really good one. There's a lady writer named Christie. Only been at it a few years, but she writes a good murder. Oh, yeah, I like a good murder, I do. The bloodier, the better.
Is anybody else here tonight, Roster?
Just you and me, sir. By rights, there's only supposed to be me. The management knew I was letting actors back in after the performance is finished. I don't know what they say.
I'll be in my dressing room. I don't want to be disturbed.
No one here to disturb you, sir. Oh, Mr. Wolf.
Yes?
I see we've beaten the trend once again, sir.
Trend?
The pantomime's still making money, even though we're past Christmas.
Well, hurrah. Now then. Good God. This is it! This is it! Where is it? Where's the name? Oh, it's here! I never thought, never dreamed! Oh, if only Fibes were here now, what would he say?
An excellent question, Carl. What would I say?
Fibes? Where are you?
The mirror, Carl.
Mirror?
Look. In the mirror, what do you see?
I see myself. Just myself.
Look again. Now what do you see?
No. It's impossible!
They say an eye for an eye will make the whole world blind. I have something more permanent in mind. The world is about to end, Carl. For you.
Mr. Wolf! You're all right in there!
It's some sort of a trick mirror, sir.
What?
The mirror, sir. What's left of it? You look at it from this angle, you can see your reflection.
That's how mirrors work, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. But if you turn your head just a little, you can see right through it. Into the next room. So Carl Wolf must have seen this.
Three heads. Mannequin heads with one eye each.
Well, the center head has only one eye because someone in the next room fired through it. Massive wound in Wolf's head, see?
I've seen it, thank you.
But look at the exit wound on the backside.
Where?
Backside of his head, sir.
Oh.
It's massive. Be honest, sir. Have you ever seen a hole this big? Look, I can wave at you through it.
Thank you, Sergeant. That'll be quite enough.
And look at the tongue on this one.
Tongue?
The mannequin head. It's a curly strip of paper. Oh, hang on. There's something written on it.
We will meet at the River Styx when the time is right.
What do you suppose that means, sir?
Not a clue. It's a mystery inside an enigma wrapped in a something bloody annoying. You there, what's your name again?
Rossiter, Mr. Pike.
It's Trout. Inspector Trout. Who uses the dressing room next door?
No one, sir. Oh, originally it belonged to the goose.
Goose?
The goose that laid the golden egg, sir. In Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes, yes, of course.
But he complained about having trouble with his pipes.
Sore throat?
Radiator, sir. He said there was so much steam in there his goose was almost cooked. Anyway, we moved him out a fortnight ago and the room's been empty ever since.
In the meantime, someone got in, made a hole in the wall, and set up this mirror and the fake edge just so they could shoot Wolf.
Not just to shoot him, Sergeant. Mr. Wolf was robbed as well.
How'd he work that out, sir?
By using common sense. Blood doesn't go round corners, so there was something in front of him on the makeup table when he was murdered. Something that was later removed, leaving this space.
Looks like it could have been a book, sir. It's about the right size.
Probably the book he brought with him.
You never told me about any book.
You never asked me.
He's right, sir, you didn't.
Well, I'm asking you now, Mr. Rossiter. What book?
Oh, he was moaning about it for weeks. Something he had to get from abroad. Wittgenstein, Wittgenberg, somewhere like that. All he said was it was connected to the play.
Jack and the Beanstalk?
That's the one. Why, couldn't just read it at home, I don't know.
Perhaps he didn't feel safe at home.
So instead he comes to the theatre where he thinks he'll be all alone and ends up getting shot through the head.
With an eyeball.
Come again, sir.
Over here, Godfrey, in the corner.
God!
Bless my soul.
You wanted to know what could have made a hole that big in Carl Wolf's head. This did.
And that's why the shattered dummy's head only has one eye, because the other... Hang about, this is crackers, sir.
Crackers it might be, Godfrey, but it happened.
But what sort of weapon fires eyeballs, for God's sake?
Something specially made for the purpose.
To make something like that, you'd have to be a genius.
Or a lunatic.
Both.
Someone you know, Inspector?
I doubt it, Godfrey. I very much doubt it. But there was one man. He was before your time. He killed more than a dozen men. And not one of them in any way you'd call straightforward. All his murders were quirky, macabre. But it can't be him.
I suppose if you're so certain, it must be because he was hanged, sir.
No, no, he wasn't hanged. The last time I saw him was in Egypt.
Egypt?
Egypt. He on a raft sailing down a long-forgotten river with his dead wife next to him.
Sounds like a bit of a peculiar character, sir.
Peculiar doesn't begin to describe him. He was obsessive, completely depraved, and far and away the most evil individual I've ever encountered.
And yet, you're sure it can't be him?
No, it's impossible. Just impossible. He got what he wanted, and everyone who stood in his way is dead. He'd have no reason to come back.
But who is he, sir?
Fellow by the name of...
Fibes. Dr. Anton Fibes. And I can assure you, he is responsible for the murder of Carl Wolf.
Yeah, you just can't walk in here. This theater's private property. He's not with you, is he, Inspector?
He's not, but I'd like to speak to him all the same. I'm interested in meeting anyone who's got an opinion about Fibes, and right now, I'm more interested than ever.
Most kind, Inspector Trout.
We haven't met before, have we?
I feel certain you would have remembered.
Yes, I dare say I would have. All right then, mister, just who are you?
My name is Thanatos.
Thanatos.
Sounds foreign.
Haven't you got work to do, Rossiter?
Please yourself. Fella tries to help. Look at the thanks he gets. I pay my taxes too, you know. I like a good murder.
Thank God for that. You were saying, sir?
I believe Mr. Thanatos was about to tell us all about himself, Inspector.
Who I am, gentlemen, is not as important as the help I can provide.
Help? Who says I need help?
Twice you have pursued Fibes. Twice he has escaped. You deny this?
I don't deny it, but that doesn't give you the right to walk in on a police investigation and act like you're taking charge.
Not taking charge, Inspector. But I expect you to follow my guidance at all times.
Oh, yes, sir. And how would you like to be giving that guidance from a jail, sir, while you're facing a charge of obstructing the police in the course of investigation?
I think, Sergeant Godfrey, that your Superintendent Waverly might have something to say about that.
Waverly?
I know precisely how you feel, Trot, but my hands are tied. Mr. Thanatos will be assisting you on this case, and you're obliged to obey any instructions he may give you.
Obliged by who?
Whom, sir?
Shut up, Godfrey! Mr. Thanatos here isn't a police officer. He isn't even English. What gives him the authority?
Our government. That's whom.
I think that one should be who, sir.
Shut up, Godfrey!
People in the Greek government put pressure on people in our government. They put pressure on me, and now I'm putting it on you. Nobody likes the situation, but there it is.
Surely, if I am able to assist you in capturing Phibes, the momentary inconvenience will have been worth it.
If it even is this Phibes character.
And why do you think Phibes is behind this, Mr. Thanatos?
This is obviously a work of his.
Well, he always was a theatrical blighter.
You don't get much more theatrical than a murder in a theater, I suppose.
The three gypsies with a single eye represent the moray entities who trace the fate.
Greek theme, eh? That certainly sounds like Phibes' style.
How so, sir?
Phibes has a PhD in theology, Sergeant. His first crime wave was based on the biblical plagues. Frogs, rats, hail, blood. The locusts were particularly vile.
That poor nurse. Not a bit of flesh left on her face.
And his second crime wave, sir?
Just nasty for the sake of it, if you ask me.
What's he after?
Revenge, originally. He was out to kill everyone he accused of botching his wife's operation.
You mentioned the wife before, sir.
Yes, let me think. What was her
Victoria.
Name?
Victoria.
Victoria, that's it. Well, shortly after her death, Phibes himself supposedly died in a car accident.
But I suspected that the ashes stored in the family vault were those of a chauffeur.
Yes, I remember how certain you were of that at the time, sir.
So Phibes faked his own death, then?
Not intentionally, Sergeant Godfrey. He was horribly injured in that accident also. Any ordinary man would have died. But he was motivated by his all-consuming love for Victoria.
Most of the time, Phibes wore clever makeup to disguise his appearance. But I caught a brief glimpse of his real face. Horrible. There was almost nothing left of the man. And he'd lost the ability to speak through his mouth, anyway.
Come again, sir.
Phibes invented a device which, when inserted into his neck, enabled him to communicate.
I don't think I've heard anything stranger than that voice. Like a gramophone recording that could talk back. And with better manners and a broader vocabulary. After he'd done away with most of the doctors he was after, Phibes went into hiding for 3 years. When he reappeared, he left England bound for Egypt, convinced that the waters in some lost temple could bring his beloved wife back from the dead.
The Lake of Eternity.
Sounds crackers to me.
You may call it crackers, Sergeant Godfrey. I would call it selfishness.
As you like, Mr. Fanatus. And what happened in Egypt, Inspector?
We can't say for certain. Trout and I went out there, determined to bring him to justice in a British court of law. We had an outstanding warrant, you understand.
But he eluded us once again, even with the superintendent's invaluable assistance. All right, so say for the sake of argument, it is Phibes. What did he want with Coral Wolf? The man was an actor, for God's sake. That's hardly like killing a real person at all.
Wolf was more than an actor, Inspector Trout. He was a scholar, a traveller, an aesthete.
All-round Renaissance man, eh?
In his arcane studies at the universities of Miskatonic and Wittenberg, his path crossed that of Phibes more than once. It is entirely likely that he may have come across some work that related to the doctor's perverted obsessions.
It's your book, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Jack and the Beanstalk?
It's a children's story, sir, about a boy who buys some magic beans.
I know what it's about, Sergeant. But what does it have to do with Wolf's murder?
Perhaps a good deal, Superintendent Waverly. What became of this book?
Phibes took it. I mean the person we imagined to be Phibes took it. God alone knows why.
God alone.
You realize that many traditional tales have their origins in ancient legends. And those legends frequently possess more than a grain of truth.
Jack. And the beanstalk?
No one truly knows the origin of this story. But you are no doubt familiar with the story of Prometheus, who stole fire from Zeus.
Of course. Of course.
Compare it with the story of Jack, who took the giant's riches. You see the points of comparison?
Yes, very clever, but I don't see why that would interest Fibes.
No, nor do I.
Ha! And you're the bloke who's supposed to be advising us? Very valuable your insight is turning out to be.
One thing I know for certain, Inspector Trout. This murder is an invitation. Fibes wants you to go and meet him.
Meet him? I should bloody... Coco! Look, Thanatos, your hypotheses are very interesting and presumptuous, but...
The message he left specifically for you. We will meet at the River Styx when the time is right.
Oi, how'd you get hold of that?
By removing it from your pocket, Sergeant Godfrey. A policeman should be more careful.
All right, now that you've got it, what does it mean?
We are in London, yes?
Obviously.
When he writes, the River Styx, he means the River Thames. And how does one tell the time in London?
I use the pocket watch my mother bought me.
The Big Ben.
It's just Big Ben, Thanatos, not the Big Ben.
Actually, Big Ben is just the name of the bell. The actual clock tower is...
Thank you, Sergeant. All right, then. Assuming Fibes means we're supposed to meet him on the Thames, underneath the Big Ben, at what time would that be?
Can't you see what is in front of you? Hmm? The eye?
Oh, the eye. I've got that in my other pocket.
No, you haven't. I'm betting Thanatos has that too.
Quite correct, Inspector Trout. Take a close look at the iris.
It's not the iris. It's a clock face.
The face of Big Ben. And the time? Midnight.
The witching hour.
Of course. What else would it be?
Perfect. I'll have a score of men positioned there, waiting to pounce.
If you do that, Fibes will simply vanish. The trap is meant for Inspector Trout alone.
Did you say trap? Why couldn't you just say appointment?
Of course. You cannot have an inspector without his sergeant.
Oh. Oh. Good.
Don't worry, Godfrey. I would have volunteered you.
I'll say this for our friend, Inspector. He certainly has more stage presence than the victim.
Thank you, Sergeant Godfrey.
Don't get too smug, Thanatos. We're following your crazy theory for the lack of anything better. Still, I'm not happy.
He isn't.
I don't like people I don't know thinking they can tell me what to do.
Be fair, sir. You don't much like people you do know thinking they can tell you what to do.
I am just trying to make it plain, Sergeant, that Mr. Thanatos shouldn't expect me to trust him.
It is a mutual feeling, Inspector Trout. I wouldn't trust the two of you handling this either.
You certainly seem to know a lot about Fibes for someone who just showed up out of nowhere.
Let us simply say we are old acquaintances.
No, Thanatos, let's not simply say that. I'd like to know what you and Fibes...
Sir, listen. Midnight.
The witching hour.
Stop calling it that. So, it's midnight. And no sign of Fibes. Now what?
On the river.
A gondola. But that can't be Fibes piloting it. It's a woman.
Victoria Fibes, perhaps.
Victoria? No, it is not Victoria. It is Valnavia.
Her as well. This just isn't my night.
Who's
Valnavia.
God alone knows. Fibes' servant. But what she is, that's another question.
What she is?
I saw her die, Sergeant. The victim of one of a master's ghastly traps. She just burned away under a stream of acid. But when I caught up with Fibes in Egypt, there she was again.
With a pretty girl like that helping him, makes you wonder why he'd even want his missus back.
Insolent dog!
Sorry, sir.
By rights, Thanatos, I should arrest you for assaulting an officer.
But if you did, we'd lose track of Vilnavia. After her!
She's heading into that tunnel!
See the sign?
Abandon all hope. I couldn't imagine a more appropriate place for such a line than under the Houses of Parliament.
She is playing the part of Charon.
Charon who?
Charon, sir, the ferryman to the underworld.
Oh, right. Well, I suppose we should follow her then. Very well, Thanatos. If Vilnavia is here, I believe Fibes is involved.
Your confidence is most gratifying, Inspector Trout.
I just wish he wasn't, that's all.
Weren't, sir. I wish he weren't.
Shut up, Godfrey. So what comes next in these mythological books of yours?
Well...
Excuse me, Mr. Thanatos, may I?
Certainly.
Well, sir, many plays state that you meet Cerberus guarding the entrance to the underworld.
Cerberus?
It's a dog with three heads.
Are you sure it is three heads, Sergeant?
Yes, in most of the versions.
Most?
Except for Theogony, where he has... 50 heads. My God.
Giant clockwork hounds.
Clockwork?
Another one of Fibes' unusual talents.
What's it doing now?
I don't know, but I don't like it.
This sculpture will explode into flames at any second.
What?
Inspector Trout, forgive my manners, but this is not a time for politeness.
Here, let go of me.
Don't push.
Take my arm, Sergeant. My arm. Cobblers to anyone who says drowning is supposed to be a peaceful way to die.
This is disgusting. I feel like a trout going down the river.
I know what you mean. No doubt there's some fishy business going on down here. Listen. You hear that?
I hear it, but I can't explain it. Sounds like jazz music, sir. Why would someone be playing jazz in a tunnel underneath the Houses of Parliament?
I'm betting it's another one of Fibes' creations.
A jazz band?
Dr. Fibes' clockwork wizards, he called them. I saw them in his home in London, and he had another lot in his Egyptian lair.
Well, I suppose it's less ominous than a siren sound. What happened to Thanatos?
Not sure. I suppose he must have been burned.
So, what do we do now?
Now, I suppose we follow the music. Come on. The man in the cloak conducting the band, that's...
Fibes. So we finally meet.
Shut up, Sergeant.
Inspector Trout.
It's been a long time, Fibes.
I am honored you accepted my invitation. An artist like myself needs a proper audience to appreciate my masterstroke.
You could have just telephoned me, you know.
I hope you don't mind if I dine. Since I am able to eat through the aperture of my neck, it shouldn't interrupt our conversation.
Nice place you have here. I like the shields. Very baronial. And these are very pretty sculptures and photos of Victoria. How is the little woman, by the way?
Your culture and tastes impress me, Inspector. I'm sure you have heard of the Furies.
Let me guess. More mythology.
The Furies are the goddesses of vengeance, sir. They punish evils made against relatives and beloved...
I am talking.
Matt! You bloody monster, Fibes!
I do so hate to be interrupted. One of my little devices. Amusing, don't you think?
I do not think.
No, I don't suppose you do.
What's that?
You are perhaps aware of the legend of the Medusa, the creature with snakes atop her head.
Rings a bell.
My clockwork creation cannot turn you to stone. Alas, but her aim is true.
No wonder people never accept invitations to your parties, Fibes.
Let me explain to you how lucky you will be dying now rather than later, Inspector.
Sorry if I feel a little busy for your stories.
An intelligent man always finds time to think. Right now, you should think really fast. As always, it all began, Victoria.
Oh, you're a late wife. I'm surprised not to see her this evening. Don't tell me she left you after all the trouble you went to.
The Lake of Eternity failed to resurrect her. Oh, it could keep my mortal enemy by the Beck alive for centuries. But to bring one back, it would demand much more than Egyptian magic. I tried Sumer, Babylon, Greek rituals, and they all equally failed. None was powerful enough.
Too bad. Still, you know what they say, if at first you don't succeed.
It seemed they were smaller versions of some ancient lost religion. There was so much they could do, but this lost god, whatever it was, that was the power I was looking for.
Oscardi didn't live up a beanstalk by any chance, did he?
Are you going to listen, Trout, or are you going to interrupt?
You're going to kill me anyway, aren't you?
Despair took me, for hopes of finding such a religion were futile. Until I read an article by that dreadful butcher Vesalius. An article about different types of virus.
Vesalius, the one doctor victim you failed to kill. He's very well, by the way. Damn it.
A primitive virus outbreak in a minor city of Africa.
You don't say.
The virus kills the host in a very short time span, dying with the victim. Almost the whole village dead in a week. And all of a sudden, it all made sense. This ancient religion worshipped a primitive god, a source of unlimited power, which, once its wrath was unleashed, could not control its own plagues and devastated all its temples, religious books, even himself, and any proof of its existence. But let me tell you the good thing about gods. They are far easier to resurrect than humans when you find their original name. To make him bring my wife back from the dead before it kills itself and the rest of mankind. Leaving this desert planet to be our lonely corner of the great Elysian fields, where our love will live forever. I am done with you now, Trout. Thank you for listening. Medusa, finish him.
You're far too fond of ornamentation, Anton. Your wall-mounted shields are excellent for beheading a Medusa. A variation on the legend, but effective nonetheless.
Oh, thank God.
Thanatos!
All these years, Anton, and you still hadn't learned that what is dead should remain dead.
No. No, you will not interfere with my plans, old man. Don't you, of all people, want Victoria back?
I'd rather have her dead than married to someone like yourself.
I tend to agree with him, Fibes.
I appreciated my meal, but the dessert lacks in taste. I did not set a place for an uninvited guest. Let us go, Valnathian.
Oh, no, you don't. Ooh! That's warm.
Inspector Trout, I really think we should get out of here.
I think I broke my nose.
Now!
He knew you. He knew you! Who the bloody hell are you?
I am the worst kind of enemy a man like him can have. A father-in-law.
Father and you're Victoria's...
My past doesn't matter now. Fibes is gone. We've lost him. And he already has the god's name. Nothing in the world can stop him now.
Blunderbore. Thunderbore!
You have been listening to Vincent Price Presents and tonight's tale, The Abominable Dr. Fibes, The Deadly Comedy. Starring Jerry Robbins as Dr. Anton Fibes, J.T. Turner as Inspector Harold Trout, Tom Berry as Fanatos, Lucian E.G. Spellman as Sergeant Godfrey, James Talek as Superintendent Waverly, Sam Donato as Rossiter, and Todd Radford as Carl Wolf. Tonight's play was dramatized for radio by M.J. Elliott, based on the Blue Water comic written by Adriano, and was produced by Tony Raymond. Executive producers were Mark Vanderberg and Darren G. Davis, and the program was directed by Jerry Robbins, with music by Jeffrey Gage. Until next time, this is Bill Hammond bidding you a heartfelt farewell. Vincent Price Presents is under a copyright by the Vincent Price Estate and Darren G. Davis. Audio production copyright by Colonial Radio Theater on the Air.